This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. Did you watch that thing, Charles Barkley, talking about Skip? Did you watch the actual clip?
But I know actually how he feels about Skip because he's talked about it before.
He was on Dan Patrick, and he was like, how about you have Skip here and... Oh, he said, if I get a disease that's going to kill me, you have Skip Bayless here and I'll kill him on live TV. How's that sound? And Dan was like, all right, sounds good. Let's do it. See if we can work that out. Just let us know when you're dying. But... I guess Skip's wife or mommy doesn't really like it, but you know, my father-in-law went to school with Skip Bayless.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's crazy. He doesn't know who he is. He has no idea who Skip Bayless is. I'm like, come on, you got to know. And they're like, no, no idea. But like, we lined up the years, bro. They went to class in, and yeah, dude, no clue. Nobody who went to school with Skip Bayless remembers him.
Have you, like, the thing that's funny about Skip, man, is like, he thinks he's so cool. Like, you know how he, like, comes out?
He's got the chain.
Right? He's got his chains, and then he's... Have you seen his, like, his foot? Like, yeah, he's got some cool shoes, but of course he has, because he's a millionaire. Of course he's going to have some sweet kicks, right?
Got a big deal for leaving ESPN.
But, like, the way that he, like, drapes his arms around some girls and stuff like that, it's kind of like he thinks he's that movie star. Like, he's, like the bomb diggity, and everybody's there just to suck his cock and be his best friend. And it's like, dude, you're Skip Bayless. You're, like...
He's never stopped.
You and Stephen A are like that's it. You know, like you guys are the butt of every joke in the sports world. Like 99% of old jokes are Skip Bayless or Stephen A related.
At least Stephen doesn't like go out of his way to like piss off like LeBron and things like that. Like sometimes he'll be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna piss off Mama Durant here, you know what I mean? But like but like the truth is like Skip like has made it a career of being like, this guy's no good, this guy doesn't have the clutch gene. And it's like,
dude, what do you expect? That he's grown up with the Oklahoma media, you know? Like this guy grew up with Oklahoma media. This is what Oklahoma produces sometimes, is the super negative Nancy's, man, of this world.
I know. And at least he kind of leaves the Thunder alone, but sometimes he'll start talking shit on the Thunder, and it's kind of like, well, this is where all of the morons who are in the Thunder media like get their cues, because, you know, Skip, that's who they want to be like, and if that's who they want to be like, good luck, they can have it.
When did Skip become famous anyways, or popular? I mean, like...
It was somewhere, like, I think what it was he was working for, like, the Dallas Morning News or something like that, right? And then they started doing that show Around the Horn. Right. And then they have like different like people, media people from different markets have an opinion. I think he was just the most dickish guy on that show. And it was like, well, hey, we'll give you your own show. And then his wife is like, well, I know he's been a dick to everybody. I just wish that people would be nicer to him. I was like, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, he's got that. He's got that country cowboy swagger. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck. I'm a Republican type thing, you know, like I'm not saying anything against Republicans or Democrats, but there seems to be sometimes a line with with people from Texas. And maybe it's just because I'm from Oklahoma and I'm always like Texas sucks, guys. Like out of all the states you'd ever want to live in, like Texas would be the last. And maybe that's just because I'm from Oklahoma and I truly feel like the last state I would ever want to live in is Texas. But could it be just our upbringing?
Dude, I saw Charles say that he was like eating some hot like peppers or something, and it was pretty hot. And they're like, "Well, I'll challenge Skip Bayless to eat this." And he's like, "You know what? I'll get him here. I want to put my foot up his ass. I challenge him to take my foot up his ass."
He's fucked, bro.
I'd pay to see that shit, dude.
Again, dude, that's hilarious. Oh, and did you see the massive fucking contract they gave to Aaron Rodgers, bro?
Yeah, 150, 50 million a year.
50 fucking million. His second year, he's making $59 million, bro. He's making 49 in the first And third year, in the second year, he's making $59 million. I can't even, like, have you seen a contract ever like that? I mean, we saw Michael Jordan make 52 or something like that million in 1 or 2 years.
I don't think
nothing like
50.
This. It has her.
No, I can't think of anything like this. It's kind of like the type of money that like people usually make outside of their sport. You know, they get big shoe contracts and that's where they bring on all this money, or, you know, apparel deals or whatever. But yeah, like crazy money. And you look at, like, he was the MVP, so you got to give him like credit. But you look at all of the shit that went on with him, you know, with the vaccination and everything. I didn't really think that Green Bay wanted to, you know, invest long term in a situation like that. But I guess it's, you know, just give him all the money up front and then it's not a long term deal. Like,
man,
all right.
$150 million. What would you do with $150 million? The first thing that you would do, $150 million.
I'm buying a jet, bro.
Buying a jet. That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm tired of commercial.
Yeah. I'm buying a jet and then having it wrecked by somebody just because I can. $150 million means that I can buy a couple jets, right?
Oh my God, dude. And then, yeah, then you got to be thinking about the yacht and a helicopter to kind of like tie it all together.
All the same color.
Yeah. And now I'm in debt.
Now I've already wasted my $150 million. Shit.
Can't pay taxes.
That's right. It's Aaron Rodgers. He probably has no intentions to pay taxes anyways, so.
I tried, but.
I tried to get this tax thing, but I couldn't figure it out. It was too much paperwork, so I just talked to Joe Morgan.
I want the natural route.
Joe Morgan told me how to do it.
Joe Morgan. Dude. I don't get it when it's that public that you're making that much money. You're not going to get away with not paying taxes.
Guys, Joe's like, man, they'll never figure it out. You're all right, Aaron. You can tell them all the lies you want. You'll never get in trouble for it.
And
ba-dum. He's in trouble. Yeah. But you know what, though? Like, seriously, how much trouble did he get in?
I thought Wesley Snipes went to prison for a little while.
But how much trouble did Aaron Rodgers get in? Not much. And he signed a $150 million contract.
I know.
So, like,
I can't even say he got a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, like, seriously. I mean, maybe he did. He get suspended a game or two?
I don't think he even got suspended. I think he just, like, had to sit out a little extra longer.
Dude.
Because, you know, like, the protocols, they finally started applying it.
I guess with this whole thing of the $150 million contract is, whatever you do, just listen to Joe Rogan when he tells you to fake it till you make it.
And listen to us on how to spend your money.
Yeah, because we can spend it for you in a matter of minutes.
We're better at spending it than anybody.
Yeah, man. No doubt on that. Especially when Aaron Rodgers is just making a shit ton of money. But, I mean, he is saving the Packers this year like $44 million by this contract, which is astonishing.
Dude. Were you ever in the same place as Aaron Rodgers when he was in Hawaii all last year?
I mean, like, we were on the same island for a little while, for sure, man.
You weren't hanging out with him, though? Dude, I thought y'all were tight.
No, man. Aaron is on a whole new level, bro. He's on a whole new level. He's not. He doesn't want to dip in what I'm dipping in. You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking of a joke about Shailene Woodley, but I'm just gonna let it go because I can't tie it all together.
oh my God, dude. No, I hope he does Green Bay well, but to be honest, I really, really hope Tom Brady wins.
Dude, stop this shit. This is not the Tom Brady love fest hour, bro. And plus, all of our dick freeing friends will be pissed off.
Oh my God, dude. But man, I kind of joking around about this whole thing because last night's game, it was a hard pill to swallow. There is no easy way of talking about how this game went. We were up. I mean,
let's start out with saying Del Curry was drunk as balls.
Oh my God. So did you see that? He was so fucking okay. When they showed him,
at least he had fun.
What?
At least he had fun.
Yeah. They showed him in the beginning and then he was just like, his eyes are all bloodshot and he just looks like he's wrecked. Like his tie is all loose And then he keeps on slurring, and I kept on writing everybody's like, dude, Dell is just trashed out of his mind. And it was hilarious. Like, to me,
Steph's birthday. Yeah. He was in Oklahoma for two nights before. Why not?
Good for Dell Curry. So anyways, it was good to listen to that broadcast team for a little bit because they were entertaining. But man, we were kicking the shit out of the Hornets, like just completely annihilating them. I think we're up by like 17, 18 at one point. Yeah. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, you could just tell the Hornets that nothing's working for them. Nothing's going in. Nothing's going for them. He's pulling everybody off of the bench trying to get help. And he puts in the itch factor, Isaiah Thomas, man. And he puts him in there and he hits four fucking ridiculous threes in like, what, 6 minutes, 4 minutes, something like that. Yeah, it was like,
it was fast.
Boom. And next thing you know is the Hornets were beating us. And they never looked back after that. But there was a minute there that I was like, we are kicking their fucking ass. They have nothing they can do.
We were balling.
And it was great to see. Everything was working for us. Our defense was working. And it wasn't that all of a sudden, like, Isaiah came out and hit four threes and 12 points in a short amount of time. But, like it was, we were still scoring. You know? Like, yeah. We were still having success scoring. It was just the fact that they were scoring at a much faster rate than we were. And that's what was so frustrating was, it wasn't like we were going on these 3 or 4 minute long sprouts without scoring. We were still scoring. It was just they were scoring at a higher rate, and it was frustrating because we had an opportunity, I felt like, that kind of got past us.
Dude, we gave up 134 points, and we scored 116. So it sucks. I mean, we keep giving up massive, massive amounts of points and
but with that hoping said, that
we can stay in it.
Is no longer do we give up the most amount of points this season. So San Antonio Spurs gave up 149, so we have no longer hold that crown.
Yeah, and do you see Towns went for 60?
Dude. It was 60 and, like, what, 17 rebounds, something like that.
17 rebounds,
yeah. One of the most beautiful dominations by a big man I have seen. I mean, 7 threes helps out. So, I mean, we've given him a lot of shit for him saying that he's the best shooting big man ever. But you know what? I mean, he's starting to back it up. I mean, I don't know another big man that's played center majority of his career that's hit 7 threes.
No, but I still don't like people making that claim about themselves. That's something you're supposed to earn and people are supposed to give you. But yeah, man, like that game last night, dude, we got down by 5 and then we put on a run. We get up by 18 a little bit into the second quarter. And next thing you know, before the close of the second quarter, we had given up the lead and they went into halftime with a 2-point lead. After that, the Hornets just came out and kept playing great. They got up by 15. They got up by 20 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we weren't really in it. And that's rough. But if you look at who did play well for us, because this is what it's all about right now. Like, we're trying to figure out little things that we can build on. And Bazley came out and had another massive game. 25 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 4 of 9 from downtown. He also kicked in 4 rebounds and 4 assists. You know, what he put up 29 last night and 25 tonight. So basically he's playing great.
Yeah, he really is. On every level, he's definitely proving that we're not done with him. There's a lot of people that were ready to throw in the towel with him when he was having his off first half of the season. But whatever coach has asked of him, he's done. So I feel like this is something that we're seeing that could be a clear indication that he's back and he's ready to stay. And I would love it because he's one of those guys that can play multiple positions at the big man, whether that's the center or the power forward or even small forward if the small forward's a little oversized because he has fast feet. So somebody like Bazley is very powerful having on your team. So if he's been able to figure it out, like Mark and I talked about it, we felt like Bazley could be one of those guys that's averaging 17 points a game in his career with Oklahoma City Thunder and starting. This is something that I feel like he could do. You know, like he's right around that average, you know, like throughout the season is, you know, he's got to continuously put up big numbers and do good things. But, you know, not every player comes out ready to play like Josh Giddey. There's some guys that take 4 or 5 years to develop their skill and what they're trying to do. So would I be surprised if it takes Bazley a little bit longer? No, not at all, because he has time in Oklahoma City. So Shea had another phenomenal game, 36 minutes, 32 points. 5 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. 5 for 5 on free throw, which is great for him. He struggled, not completely struggled, but he's had a couple issues hitting late in game free throws. But he did really good today. 3-for-7 on three-pointers, and 12-for-20 on field goals. So hell of a night by Shea. Continues to put up that 30-plus points a game. Really impressed by his attitude and really what he's doing, because there's so many guys that could have a shitty attitude out there playing right now, knowing that most games are going to get past us pretty quickly. But, you know, Shea just has a really great mentality and leadership out there that's really been helping these guys stay in games, even though these games are getting out of hand. They're able to come back and climb in really quickly.
Yeah, and Bazley, power forward, and then obviously Shea is our 1/2 guard. In this lineup, we had Teo Maledon starting at the other guard, and we had Trey Mann starting at the small forward like we saw last night. But at the center, today we started Olivier Sarr instead of Isaiah Roby. Roby came in off the bench, and he was in foul trouble pretty much the whole time. So it was a difficult game for him. He got about 10 minutes in the game. You know, he had been on a roll, and then you know, we had a few days off, and he's had trouble getting back into that groove. I have no doubt he's going to keep working at it and get there, because he was putting up, I think, 18 or 19 a game right before that break. So he was on a roll. As far as Sarr goes, he put up 7 points, 2-of-5 shooting, 3-of-4 from the free throw line. He kicked in 7 rebounds. 3 of those were offensive and 3 assists. He also added on a block. So I thought he did good. He played for 32 minutes, so you would have liked to see more than 7 points, but in the end, he's going to do what it takes to help the team win. He's got to figure out how to be a little bit more assertive, but sometimes he'll go out there and try things and they don't work. And that's okay, because this is a part of it. You want your 10-day contracts to, you know, be working on improving stuff. He'll probably have an opportunity, you know, either next year or whatever, to go back to the G League. And these minutes will be what he builds off of. So we're looking at everything as a positive. Teo Maledon, he played 30 minutes. He went for 6 points, 2-of-9 shooting. Kicked in 7 rebounds, 2 of them offensive, 4 assists, and 1 steal. So between those two guys, the production was limited, but you know, you like seeing young players get those minutes.
Yeah, we had some huge minutes from our bench players. Vit Krejci scored 12 points in 15 minutes, 4-for-6 and 3-pointers. He has a 6 shot. I love how his release is quick. He can do that off the dribble, off the pass. It doesn't matter. A lot of guys are, you know, type of players that can only spot up shoot or off the dribble shoot, but Vit is one of those guys, man. He can shoot off the dribble, he can shoot off the pass, being still one spot, man. He's just a special player. So great job by him. He also had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You had Poku, another strong night by Poku. Now Del Curry loves Poku. I think secretly they have a love relationship going on there. Poku's a little bit young for Del Curry, but that's okay, because I've yet to hear so many people say so many positive things about Poku as Del Curry did. 17 points. He called him an instant a scorer off the bench, and he's just talking about how good he is and all these things, right? So 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 offensive. He was 2-for-5 on 3-pointers and 6-for-11 on field goals in the 27 minutes that he played. You know, Poku did have 6 turnovers, and I bring that up because we had only had 18, so he had a third of our turnovers last night. But I felt like he had a really strong game all in all.
And I think he did something to his shooting hand. And at the end of the game? He came out of halftime. What?
Was that at the end of the game, the way he was standing at the end of the game? Or
it wasn't just that. It was, I mean, he came out of halftime, and he had a splint on his fingers. And oh, I didn't notice it. Didn't notice it in the first half. And then he airballed 3 threes. To close out the game, and he went 2-for-5 from 3, so he knocked down the first 2, and then it was, you know, all bat misses after that. So I don't know for sure if that was something he went into the game with, but I'm assuming he didn't, and then he hurt his shooting hand. We're 9 deep, you know, you got to keep playing him, but it was a struggle for Poku.
Yeah, and I felt like he did a phenomenal job though. Like, I mean, he's one of those guys that just needs time to develop, and a lot of people want to see these players that are NBA ready to go. They don't understand, like, what we're trying to do in Oklahoma City is keep that development aspect going in our G League and in our, you know, team. This is not something that's going to change. Just because we're going to have a team that's ready to compete for a championship doesn't mean we're not going to go out and get these young players that are 18 or 19 years old that need a few years of development in our G League, because those are the players that pay off tenfold. And eventually Poku's going to pay off, guys. And I think everybody's starting to recognize that, the way that he's able to play. If he puts 20 pounds on, he could play a center position. I mean, there's so many things that he could do, by just continuing doing what he's doing. So I don't know if he has that ability to play center. I always think that I would love to see him play center, and that's what I would like him to do, because I see that there's a need for a player of his ability and knowledge that he brings to the table playing that center position. I've always talked about the smartest person on the court needs to be the center. A lot of people laugh at me and they're always like, no, it needs to be the point guard. But the reality is that if you're the center, you're the anchor on that defense. If you're the center, you see their defense on offense. So you're the one that's on the backside looking at the entire defensive scheme. So you should be able to be vocal in these aspects and talking about where their screen's coming from and all these other things. Poku does that stuff. So when we see him stepping up and having big games, game in and game out, I look at that and say, this is something that is a big thing for a young man to understand. And if we can have a defensive minded a player like that, that can score and can shoot, and the way that he releases the ball makes it very difficult for people to block him without fouling him. So there's certain things that I look at Poku's game that I get excited about, and especially a game like this where we haven't had a lot of time to talk about Poku because these other players have been doing so well. But Poku in himself and the way that he's been maturing and playing this year has given me a lot of hope that we're not done with Poku, and Poku has a great chance of being somebody truly spectacular on this team.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, we saw a tough game by Lindy Waters. He played 25 minutes. He shot 2 of 8, but he missed all 6 of his 3-point attempts. He kicked in 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. So he got it done on the defensive end, but, you know, teams are starting to recognize you want to run him off the 3-point line, and you've got to give him multiple different efforts on that because he'll give you a ball fake. He'll slide to the open shot and knock down the shot there. So, you know, they're definitely improving their defense on Waters. And you kind of see the same thing with Trey Mann, who also had, you know, a bit of a struggle today. He went 3 for 6 on 3-pointers, but 4 of 12 overall. And he ended up with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. But teams kind of know what his A option is. So they're recognizing that he's looking to get his shoulder low and then go into a step back. So when he does that, they're taking away the airspace by quickly closing out, recognizing that it's going to take multiple closeouts on Trey Mann. So I think these guys have shown up on the scouting reports, and the teams are recognizing how they're going to attack them on the defensive end. And somewhat it's working. It's not going to keep working because these guys are going to figure out counter moves to what the defense is giving them. But right now they're struggling and it's apparent, but that's okay. It's part of the growth that you get with young players. Just like with Poku, you know, first half, all great. Second half, lots of struggles. That's just how the game goes for young players.
Yeah, it is. And it's just recognizing when the consistency starts. Sometimes that happens quickly. Sometimes it takes many, many years. So, you know, right now we'll focus on the good things. And looking at this team and the way we played, man, we only got 6 points off of turnovers last night. Unfortunately, we gave up 27 points off the 18 turnovers we had. Charlotte only had 5. How in the world were we even in the game at this point when we were beaten by 13 turnovers? You know, we had 18, they had 5, and then they scored 21 more points than us off of our turnovers. So, like, insanity right there. Our biggest lead was 18. Their biggest lead was 22. We had 33 points off of our bench. They had 45. You know, I felt like as a team, we played well. I mean, we did the things that needed to do to win, minus that points off of turnovers. Giving up 27 points off of turnovers was enormous, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, that's what's going to happen when we're a defensive-minded team without our 3 best defenders on the court.
Yeah, and, I mean, we did well, especially, you know, the first, I don't know, probably like 15, 18 minutes of the game. I thought we played really well. But, you know, then they got going. And overall, I mean, they shot a ridiculous 3-point percentage. They shot 57% from behind the arc. And that's tough. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games when you give up that level of shooting. And we shot overall pretty good 3-point shooting for our team. We shot 36%, which for us is, you know, above average. And we'll take it, but we got to get more stops. And it's just kind of like these last, I don't know, 4 games probably, we've kind of find ourselves in these spots where these teams are just, you know, torching us from the perimeter. They're getting whatever they want. And then from there, we're stuck scrambling, and then they're picking us apart in the paint too. So it's been a tough ride for us, but I really appreciated the attitudes on the bench. I appreciated the players who were playing, you know, staying positive. And we've lost 10 games at home in a row now. So I appreciate the fans staying positive too, because that's important. It's all a part of this process, and you don't want to get too down on young players.
Yeah, you can't. And one of the things that I read and I heard Coach D say in the interview last night was, you could tell that there's this like pain happening in the locker room, you know, like just by what he said. He was asking about, you know, how do you feel your team's doing right now? And Coach D said, we're the youngest team in the league and banged up on top of that. We're trying to win games. Our guys are competing hard. I mean, that right there to me is telling, like, these guys are trying. I mean, they're trying to win games. They're out there competing. They're not out there trying to lose games, and they're not out doing, you know, stupid shit just because. Like, we're out there trying to play games and trying to win them. And that's what I have to say is, like, you see this in the coach. You see this in the players. And I'm all in. I think that's obvious that we're all in here on the Last Storm. But, like, all in 100% because this team is the most important team of what the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to do. This is it, guys. This is the beginning. And if you can't buy in now, down the road, you're going to buy in. And then all of a sudden you're going to be like, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't get it. This pisses me off. Like, it's all about buying in. It's all about understanding what the buy-in value is and going all in at this moment. And that's what this team is trying to do right now. And it's frustrating to them because they can't get some wins and they want to win. And that's all they want to do. And we have an organization that's great, but unfortunately our media has been really harsh. They call these guys, you know, these guys won't be here in a few years. None of this team will be here. These guys will be gone. And it's hard because these guys are competing for a lifestyle and a way of living. And they have people inside of the media in Oklahoma that are trashing them. So of course we're going to stand up and, you know, talk to Coach D and say, you guys are doing what's right. Keep it up, man. Because trying to win games with a young team like this is how you are teaching them how to compete long term.
Yeah, just one more win. That's how we look at it, man. We want one more win. And then when we get that, we'll look at how we get the next one. And it's been a bit, but that's okay. It's, like you said, it's all a part of the process. And obviously, you're always going to have your critics, and they're always going to bitch and moan, and they're always going to line up a little bit closer to Stephen A. Smith or, you know, one of those other fucking morons, Skip Bayless and whatnot, because, you know, they like to sound like they know what they're talking about. Very rarely do they. So they just say it really, really loud and they repeat themselves. But I mean, for this team, they're working hard and they're trying to figure out what's going on. It's tough when you run out 9 players and, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody's not playing good or things aren't going, foul trouble, whatever, then you're out there and you're just playing 8. And I haven't seen that in the NBA in a very long time. And as far as I know, this has nothing to do with COVID. I don't know that for sure, but, you know, players are on the bench. You know, they're in street clothes. They're there because they're hurt. And so, you know, we could easily be like, well, it's a COVID year, but that's not why these guys aren't out there playing right now, as far as I know. What's happening is they're just not staying healthy. That's part of being young, you know, figuring out how to get through the whole NBA season. But, you know, I feel like at least the last 20 years of the NBA, bro, like every game is a 10-man rotation. Yep. You know, they play 2 groups of 5. They rotate them in and out. You know, it might have been longer, but I feel like running out 8 or 9 players, that's like a high school move.
Yeah, it really is. And it's high school, middle school, whatever it is. I mean, that's what teams are doing in lower ball. And it's unfortunate we're like this, but back to your point of these are non-COVID injuries. They're not. I mean, Aaron Wiggins is day-to-day with the ankle issues that he's been having. Derek Favors has a back issue. Kendrick Williams has a knee issue. Mike Muscala underwent arthroscopic surgery on his ankle. Ty Jerome went surgery on a sports hernia. Lou Dort underwent successful surgery on a torn labrum in his left shoulder. Josh Giddey, you know, ankle sprain, right? Or shoulder issue or whatever is going on.
They're saying hip, right? Hip is also hurt.
But who really knows in Oklahoma City Thunder or what's going on? Yeah. And
last year with Baisley, it was a broken scapula, and we didn't find out till afterwards.
Yeah, and then you got JRE with a broken foot. These are all injuries that are significant. But all these guys, like JRE, started when he went out. Josh Giddey started when he went out. Lou Dort started when he went out. Ty Jerome, major minutes when he went out. Mike Muscala, closing minutes in the fourth quarter when he went out. Kendrick Williams, he was getting 20-plus minutes, 25 minutes a game. Derek Favors, he was in and out of the starting lineup. And Aaron Wiggins was a starter. So these are all major contributors to the team. That's what's the amazing part, that we're still able to stay close and, you know, keep things close, even though we're missing the majority of our team right now.
I mean, you mentioned five guys that were starters, and obviously Shea isn't hurt. So, you know, we have players who are starting as they stepped up, and then they got hurt. And then mentioned three guys off the bench who have been major contributors. So it's been a really interesting thing. You know, we have two guys on 10-day contracts that are getting big minutes, and it's the time of the season where that's good. You know, this is an opportunity for them to step up, but it's also an opportunity for us to let everybody know in the whole NBA, if you're, you know, a G League level player, that if you come and you play for the Thunder and we get an opportunity to promote you within the system, we'll do that. And that will actually increase the value of those positions on the G League. You know, players will start targeting it and recognizing that it's a path to the NBA. And a lot of players don't have that path. And that's one of the things I like about it. It's this, you know, congruency between the G League and the Thunder that's very, very important. And it gets me excited. A lot of people probably tune it out because they don't like it. But for me, I look at it as a part of the building process. And we're starting at the ground floor and we're working our way all the way up. And it's difficult at times. Sometimes it's not very aesthetically pleasing, but there are also times where you look at it and you say, I can see a glimpse of the future. And that's what we nerd out about.
And just to keep in mind, guys, like we got beat by what, 18 points last night. They shot 57% from 3-point range, 57%. And they only beat us by 18. These are
only
the type
18,
of,
bro.
I know 18 is like a lot, but the way that they shot the ball, and it should have been a way bigger blowout. Like,
it's like Charles Barkley telling Skip, you just want to put the toes in, bro. That's it. Just the toes. Just the tip of my toes.
No, I look at it like you said. It's the building process. There's uncomfortable moments, and with every anal penetration, there's always going to be a moment where it's super uncomfortable. So it's just
at least a few.
that's just the way shit goes sometimes. So, anyways, but I applaud what's happening with this Oklahoma City Thunder organization. I applaud the way that they are going about it. It's not always the easiest. It's not always the most most fun, but you know what? If you're there for the ride and you're able to enjoy everything that's happening, when ecstasy comes, it's 10 times better.
Yeah, bro. And back to Skip and Charles, bro. Like, seriously, I saw Skip say that that Charles was pure evil, or his wife said that he was pure evil. Like, they don't know evil if they think that Charles Barkley is evil, bro. Like, seriously, man. Wow. Charles Barkley's a goober, but that doesn't make him evil. And if you want to talk about evil, talk about, like, tearing people apart as, like, your career. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you made your name. Like, that's, like, he's like, Skip Bayless is a classic version of evil, and he's, like, complaining because Charles, he doesn't like him or something. It's fucking hilarious, bro. But, yeah, go Class and Comets.
I always liked how Charles created issues, you know what I'm saying? Like, even him and Shaq are on TNT together, that shit's funny because they even go at each other there. But, like, the fact is that, you know, Skip for a long time has been, you know, the shit on people's shoe. So
a burr in a saddle.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you want to call it. Like,
sand in the...
It's just amazing that people are fighting back. It's just amazing that people are fighting back now. And I'm so pumped that Skip stays out of Oklahoma City as far as visiting and different things like that, because we don't have to see Skip News. Hey, I'm here in Oklahoma eating at you guys' favorite restaurants. You know, because everybody would say the same thing and lives in Oklahoma. Skip can go fuck himself. And that's pretty much how everybody feels.
Yeah, and seriously, dude, he very rarely says anything supporting of the Thunder or anything positive, and it's like, you know, it's just part of his little thing. So good for him. I'm happy for Skip, and you know, I hope that we get to see Charles, you know, live out his fantasy someday. But until that time, obviously, Miss Bayless,
you know,
needs
Charles
to take a
doesn't
chill
clip his toenails, right?
I'm getting that visual, bro. No.
Just let that soak in. Anyways, we appreciate
Darius Bazley, 25 points. Shea, 32. You know, one of those games, bro. We just got to keep competing. The Hornets are looking toward the playoffs, and they're figuring out ways to get it. And Dell Curry is obviously looking to get to the mini bar back at his hotel.
He's already destroyed the mini bar. He's looking for whatever is next, man. Anyways, probably the strip clubs. There's a lot of decent strip clubs in Oklahoma City, so Dell Curry probably went to all of them. Anyways, I appreciate night trips, bro. Everyone. What else? I don't have anything else, man. You got anything else?
No, I was just going to list off my favorite strip clubs, but I think we can move on, bro.
Dude, what was that valley we used to go to? That was the shittiest valley ever.
No, I don't even want to say it on here because people know what we're talking about.
If you're in Oklahoma City, there's a valley. It's over in Southside. You guys all know what I'm talking about. We appreciate you guys. We love you all. Thank you so much for listening. The Last Storm will not be back tomorrow. We'll be taking the day off. But we will be back the following day. So we appreciate you all and sticking with us. And yeah, anything else, Mark?
Thunder up, baby.
And always, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Thanks a lot, guys.